Today on Real Radio.
We now come to our first horizontal commandment, meaning that we relate to one another. And it all begins, note takers, number one horizontal, that is person to person commandment, is regarding the family.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues his topical series on the Ten Commandments. We're taking a look at commandment number five today, the first in the so-called horizontal commandments, those that address our dealings with one another. And we're commanded to honor our father and mother. Pastor Jack's lesson today is also an exploration into what happens when we break this commandment. And with our lesson today, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Number five, if you go to Exodus chapter 20, we are in verse 12 tonight in the fifth commandment. And while you're there, you know the routine. Go on over, holding your place in Exodus 20. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, we'll look at verses 17 and 18, and Exodus 20, verse 12. Commandment number 5 tonight, the fifth commandment. And we make some transitions tonight in our series regarding these commandments. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says, "Do not think that I've come to destroy the law." He's talking about not only the Ten Commandments, but the giving of the law, all that Moses had given, or the prophets, the Old Testament. "I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle," a little hyphen and a little comma of the Hebrew language on a scroll, little speck like a grain of sand, "will by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled." And then the fifth commandment, which, by the way, if you're a note taker, is now our first horizontal commandment. That means it goes outward among those that we relate to. Exodus 20, verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." And each week we have looked at what the Hebrews address as a correlation commandment. It's quite interesting as we've gone through these. And now as we come to the fifth commandment, what is the correlating commandment according to the Hebrew way of thinking? And it's found in Exodus 20, verse 17. So just take your eyes down a little bit to what they see as a commandment that accents and correlates to the fifth commandment. Verse 17 says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." And you might say, how in the world, as we've been asking every week, how does that correlation meet? How does the fifth commandment and the tenth commandment come together? And the correlation is this: it's about honoring and coveting. It's very interesting. Unable to cope. If someone is coveting someone else's possessions, it means that you've been brought up in a way where you have not learned to cope with the blessings and with the status of others. The Hebrews teach that the coveting is a result of a child that is either has not been instructed, or a child that has not listened to their mother or their father. They have thrown off those boundaries and have conduct themselves in an unreasonable way. And in doing that, they become one who covets. So as we look at the fifth commandment tonight, it's very interesting in our note-taking that when we consider, remember, the Ten Commandments, we say Ten Commandments in English, the Decalogue, Deca being ten, the Ten Communications or the Ten Precepts. The Ten Commandments are more than commandments. They're actual precepts to live your life by. And when you think of that, you say, well, Jack, I fail at the first one. And we all covered that in detail. Yes, we do fail at keeping that very first commandment, to love God in totality. But what we wind up doing is finding out that it's the very Ten Commandments that drive us by conviction to the foot of the cross. It's the Ten Commandments, by the way, that undergirded the whole sacrificial system of the Old Testament. Why would somebody go in the Old Testament time and offer an animal and their blood for a family's sins or a person's sins, because the law came into their understanding, the law came before their life, and they were convicted of doing wrong. It's amazing to me. In fact, I saw tonight on a news poll, a public poll opinion, that a poll is taken every year. I've never heard of this before. But the opinion poll said that God's opinion, his rating, his approval rating among Americans is at an all-time low. God only gets 52% of America's thumbs up on how he's running the universe is what the question was. And they cited that he has failed regarding the tsunami, he failed regarding the Haitian earthquake and the New Zealand earthquake. Here's the nation judging God and convicting him of not living up to the job. And then another question on the opinion poll was, what do you think about God's talent and abilities to have created the universe? 71% of Americans said that God did a good job in establishing the universe. Well, I'm sure that makes them feel really good. Absolutely amazing that we've reduced God down to somebody that we can manage in an opinion poll. And God's numbers are sinking because man doesn't approve of how God is doing things. Let me tell you something right now. God is not going to ask you what you think about what he's doing. Okay, he is God and we are not. He's eternal and we're not. He is spirit and we are not. He is the creator and we're the dreamers. Okay, and he is not swayed by an opinion poll. It is the Ten Commandments that judge mankind, not some poll. It's very powerful. It's very interesting. But as we consider this tonight, I'm going to ask you to write down a really powerful introductory verse to our study tonight that is found in the New Testament. Paul the Apostle, when he wrote to the church there in Turkey, in Ephesus, chapter 6, verse 1, it says there, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." That's very important, by the way, in the Lord. "For this is right," verse 2, "honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment, "with promise," Paul says, "that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." There's a correlation to obeying your parents and living long. Isn't it Bill Cosby that says it is certain? And remember way back Bill Cosby, anybody remember Bill Cosby? Bill Cosby says when he was talking to one of his kids at some time in one of his skits, in one of his onstage performances, brilliant guy, he told one of his kids, "Listen, you better obey me because it's certain I brought you into the world and I can take you out." God is the one who presides over relationships, and he's watching that very, very special relationship between moms and dads and children. And you want to be thinking about the question, well, when does that end and how does that come to a conclusion? Because in a sense, listen, you will always be your mom and dad's kid. Now, granted, when death comes and a parent is deceased or your parents are now gone, like my parents are gone, I'm no longer, in a sense, their child. But I still think of them as my parents. And they have no thought about me whatsoever. They're praising God and not worrying about me. They're having a good time in heaven. They're not down here dealing with the national debt and all the stuff, right? Although our weather is pretty divine. But before we get into this study tonight, I want to give a word to all of our parents this evening, and it's a word to myself as well. Parents, we are to conduct ourselves, even in light of this fifth commandment, we are to conduct ourselves in an honorable way regarding our kids. Our kids are not some sort of a slave or some sort of a deduction come April 15th, and that's about it. Our kids are divine gifts given to us by God, and if you look at them any less than that, then your home life, your child rearing will suffer. The Bible says children are a gift from God. They're not a pain in the neck. We often make them a pain in the neck because we don't know how to parent, or we don't invest in parenting. We don't take the time to get on our face and seek God about how do I raise this kid up. I have to tell you something right now. It's a secret. I've never told this in 20 years of being a church. Every time we have a little one up here for a child dedication, my mouth may be saying one thing, but there's a part of my heart and my mind when I'm praying silently and I'm saying, "Lord, this child, there's never been," in fact, I've slipped out a few times and said, "There's never been a little Jacob like this Jacob." Have you ever heard me say that on Sundays? What I'm really saying is, "Lord, cause these parents to read this guy like a book, because there has never been a kid like that. Yes, there's books written in generalities about the firstborn usually does this, the secondborn, the thirdborn. I understand that stuff, and that's a science, and I got that. But there's that snowflake factor that God has built into every human being. Listen, that ought to tell you right now, God is anything but boring. Look around you. Look around you. These people, God made them. And everyone's different. Somebody has said, everyone's got their exact look-alike somewhere in the world. You know, I got to tell you, we were in Hollywood, which I totally avoid that. I never go there. I hate that place. And but some friends came. They were from out of the country. They went, let's go to Hollywood. It's, oh, Lord. And it's like, okay. And so we get up there, and I got to tell you something. There's a guy that's walking up and down Sunset Boulevard, and he's dressed like Tom Cruise. Have you seen this guy? I saw that guy. I almost passed out. Scared me to death because I wasn't paying attention. I'm walking along, and I look like this, and the guy was right there. And this guy, you cannot tell him from Tom Cruise. I mean, it was shocking. And the guy's walking down the street. And he's the exact, you know, look-alike. I'm surprised the guy's even able to walk around. And somebody will say, well, there's the exact look-alike, just like you somewhere in the world. Let me tell you, if that's true, it may be on the outward, but it's not true on the inward. God knows the uniqueness of who you are. You are absolutely unique. And I know that one of the lies of growing up is feeling like you must be like everybody else. And there's a longing when you're young to be different. What do you think everybody, when they're young, you know, a friend of mine wrote a song, I want to be different like everyone else. Have you noticed that when a young person, we all did it. Do you remember wearing bell bottoms for the first time? And remember as bell bottoms went on, we got bigger. The guy in school that wore the biggest bell bottoms first was cool. Remember that? I still have those pants. I'm waiting for all that. It's now coming back. You know, I'm gonna save a lot of money when that happens. But it's like, wow, look at that. To get that woo factor, it's quite something. That uniqueness. And yet down deep inside, listen, my friends, down deep inside, if you want to enjoy and revel in God's love for you, understand this, that you are absolutely unique. And I don't care if you think, feel, look like someone else. You're not someone else. You are the person God has created you. And yes, you need salvation. Yes, you need forgiveness of sin. Yes, you need to come to the cross. But the amazing, awesome thing is God has engineered a plan that works. And I'm going to argue that plan tonight from the fifth commandment. This is a perfect time for you and I to understand that as we've been looking at these vertical commandments, 1 through 4, we now come to our first horizontal commandment, meaning that we relate to one another. And it all begins, note takers, number one horizontal, that is person to person commandment, is regarding the family, parenting, and children. Number one, jot it down, church, the fifth commandment, we are to be honoring your father's love, honoring your father's love. And there's a little bit of a play on words on that I'm gonna ask you to pay attention to. Yes, it's your father, earthly father, and yes, it's your heavenly father. Honoring your father's love, this is very, very important. Exodus 20, verse 12, look at it right up front. We'll dissect the verse tonight. Honor your father, the Bible says. Honoring God for his authority. It's an authoritative term to honor your father. Now, there's going to be some things tonight that are by nature, I trust God to make them convicting to us. Why? Because we're to be honoring God for his authority of who he is. And listen, the Bible commands us right here to honor our fathers for their authority. And you need to listen carefully. And I know the arguments. Listen, don't run out of the building yet. Wait till the whole service is over. Because God's going to want to speak to you. Because immediately in our minds, every one of us in this room tonight would say, how can I honor my father when he was a nincompoop? How can I honor my father when he was a... And you fill in the blank. I'm asking you to hang on. First of all, somebody might say, well, Pastor, I'm going to tune this message out. I came from a dysfunctional family. Have you ever looked at the word dysfunctional? It means not normal. Dysfunctional is not normal. If you've come from a normal family, I'd like to meet you. I've not met a person yet that's come from a normal family. What is normal? Textbook? Who? What? What kind of book? It's a dynamic. So we all have our arguments, but God says, honor your father. And immediately and directly, we're introduced to the word honor right here in the Bible. The meaning of the word is all important to understanding the rest of the commandment or this precept. Listen to this. In Hebrew, kabod is the word honor, and it means this. And it has two definitions, by the way, and the word definition is applied by the context of what you're reading. So watch this. In the negative, kabod, honor, means this: to be a negative, heavy, burdensome, severe, obedient demand. Now listen carefully. In the good sense, it means glorious, noble, excellent, rich, abundant obedience. Did you get that? Obedience appears twice in the negative definition and in the positive. Obedience. I find that interesting. You've got two opposite. You have one side totalitarian, difficult, hard, and severe, and you've got the other side that is illustrious, rich, and noble, but both of them are brought together with this one word, obedience. How many of your parents tonight, raise your hands? Obedience. Obedience is all important, but listen, as a parent, young people tonight, listen. Your parents do not want you to obey them out of a heavy, burdensome demand. Your parents want you to obey them out of a loving, noble, illustrious type of love for you. It's very critical. You understand that. And you're going to have to just take that by faith, because the young people tonight are maybe thinking, I don't feel like that. I feel like they're out to get me. I understand that. We've all felt that too. And it's amazing when you're young how brilliant your friends' parents are. Remember that? You'd be sitting at the table watching your dad eat, and you're thinking, why can't he be a genius like Bobby's dad? It's not until your kids move out and are gone and get their first mortgage payment that mom and dad become a genius. How'd they do that? Have you noticed that? That's the great thing about getting older. Your kids grow up too. And they get to go through all the stuff you went through. And you know the secrets now, but will you tell them? Well, the answer is, of course you will, because you're a loving parent. But a father or a dad's calling in life is to communicate the characteristics of God. It is amazing to me that God in the Bible calls us fathers, and he calls himself a father. Church family, listen carefully to this. The power, the position of a father in the eyes of a child is amazing. Honor your father. Let me tell you something. A little kid starts out their life not only honoring their father. We shall see before this study is over that it's engineered by God. That little junior look at dad as almost a god. And that's the plan of the Lord, by the way. That's intended by God. That a child look at their father as being the biggest hero on the planet. That's a beautiful thing, and there's a way to manage that. It's a good thing. The wisest man in all of the world, Solomon, knew something about fathering. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my son, Solomon was a dad, if you receive my words, notice the condition, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, that's wisdom, and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is, mark it, dad, mom, kids, this is a great verse to have as a guide for your life. It is God's will that you perform those things, young person, in seeking God, and he says right there, you'll find the knowledge of God. That is the holy word of God, and it cannot fail. But we are to incline ourselves to the seeking of God. A father's position in the eyes of a child is altogether amazing. As we are to honor our father's heart and of his love for us, the Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and in the admonition of the Lord. Fathers, the Bible tells us, dads and kids, listen up, that your father is not to provoke you to wrath. The word means that you're not to tease and taunt and frustrate your child. It's a double-edged blade on this in the sense that we're commanded as children to honor our father. But at the same time, I believe the Bible teaches that as a father, we need to be honorable before our kids. God has placed the role of the father upon a man, and a man loves very differently. Boy, you need to hear this. Some of you who are older might say, well, what a stupid thing to say. Hey, listen, our generation, I mean, our culture is confused on this. God has specifically engineered a man to love differently than a woman loves and differently than a mom loves. A man loves differently than a woman, and a dad loves different than a mom. Who made that up? God did. This baloney that you're being told in our culture, that there's very little, if no difference between men and women. Look, I don't know what kind of loony wrote that down and who's propagating that stuff, but that's really sick. First of all, it insults the design of God. And second of all, it does not celebrate the diversity of what God has done. But a mother, for example, we'll see in a moment when we get to the mother part, a mother's very nurturing by design. A father is not nurturing like that. He's nurturing in a different way. When a child is running and falls down, the father says, you're all right, you're going to live. You're okay. That's all right. You're okay. Look at there. See that? The mother runs. Oh, oh, oh. She's almost dialing 911. That is a family, man. That's how it works. And all these diversities, that's a great thing. But a father loves differently. And listen, when a father loves a son or a daughter, it would be more of a hands-on way in the sense that, hey, come here. Let me help you out here. You see this? I remember my dad doing this to me. In Orange County, my parents' home, they won awards for their house in the landscaping. I'm not kidding. The day that my dad said, you're mowing the lawn. You have to understand something. When he said, you get to mow the lawn, it was like the rite of passage. I became a man that day because nobody touched my dad's lawnmower and nobody stepped on his lawn. And he said, you get that thing, okay, you get ready, and don't look at the wheel, don't look at the grass. You look at that point, you see that point across the yard, you see that little thing, that thing right over there, that's where I look, and you just look at that point right there. By the way, you can try this at home, it works. And you start that mower, and you go, you never look down, you look at that point, and guess what, you will mow a perfectly straight lawn. Now see, all the guys can say amen to that. The women are going, what's he talking about? We love differently. You don't understand. When a dad gets you out there and says, listen, you mow that thing straight. Don't you, just keep your eyes straight ahead. Do you understand that? When a guy hears that, it's like, he loves me. He loves me. And if you get a little crooked, he grabs you by the shirt. Did I? Listen, I said, do this part. And you go, yeah. That's how guys are wired.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a look at number 5 of the 10 Commandments, where we're told to honor our father and mother. It's a real close look at the benefits of keeping the family unit intact, as well as the consequences when we don't. There's more to come from this lesson of Pastor Jack, so be sure to join us on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember, you can always go online to realradioactive.org and listen to today's edition of Real Radio as many times as you'd like. Sometimes the second or third time through really makes a difference. You can also hear past programs. You can even subscribe to our podcasts of Real Radio if you'd like. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. Realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.